Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the first letter of the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 2. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Our subject this evening is the truth of the Spirit. Well, last week we considered the teaching of the Apostle John concerning the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. And one great characteristic of the Antichrist is that he or it will deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and all that that means. Essentially, they reject the vital doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. And the Apostle John warns against such false teaching. And these false teachers, well, there were a number present in the church even at the time of the Apostle John. And well, ever since the time of the Apostle John, there have been many who have rejected the doctrine of the deity of Christ. And, well, we considered this last week, those who have come out of sound orthodox congregations and churches and have set up their own religions and apostate movements and cults, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, with their defective view of Christ. And, well, so we ought to be on our guard against such movements and against such heresies. If a group or a movement or a church, so-called, approach you and knock on your door, well, one of the first questions that we have to ask them is, what do you think of Christ? Who do you think he is? Do you believe that he is the only begotten of the Father? Do you believe that he is the eternal Son of God, equal with God, the second person of the triune Godhead? If they do not, well, we must reject them because, well, it's the spirit of Antichrist, according to the word of God. They may well say that they are Christian. And I remember having a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness early last year and invited him into our home. And, well, he insisted that he was just like us. That was the great thing he was trying to impress upon me. I'm just like you. We believe exactly the same things as you. And so, well, I invited him to our church. Come and hear that which we believe. Come and hear some sound doctrine. Of course, he didn't want to. He wasn't really one of us. If he was one of us, he would have remained with us. He would have remained in a sound church. He wouldn't have aligned himself with a movement that denies the divinity of Christ. He wanted to insist that he was the same as us, but he was not. Otherwise, he would have stayed in those sound churches with sound doctrine. And so we have to identify this for what it is. And we who are believers, well, in verse 20 of chapter 2, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. It's that anointing of the Holy Spirit which teaches us these glorious truths. It is only with the help of the Spirit that we can truly understand and acknowledge and embrace this glorious truth that Christ is God, that he is fully God and fully man. We couldn't work it out by ourselves, by our own intellect. That's impossible. It's by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit enables us to believe and to love this doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And this is such a vital teaching and doctrine that I want to follow up last week's study, just spending a few moments on this doctrine of the deity of Christ, because, well, we have to realize before we move on how damaging it can be if we reject this doctrine, and what we are denying when we reject the doctrine of the deity of Christ. And well, first of all, what I want to set before you is that the denial of this doctrine is a denial of Old Testament prophecy. Because in the Old Testament, we learn that the Messiah will be God. We read earlier from Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." Thy throne, O God. It's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a messianic psalm. How do we know this? Well, because in Hebrews chapter 1, well, we read that these verses refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." This is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 45 insists that the Messiah, when he comes, will be God himself. And Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we know what that name means, Emmanuel, God with us. This is Old Testament prophecy. The one who will come is God with us, the Messiah, the one who is born of a virgin. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The titles of the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9, the Mighty God. And that is how we interpret these words. Christ is God. When we add these scriptures up and other scriptures we could point to in the Old Testament, we conclude that the teaching of the Old Testament is that the Savior, the Messiah, will be God himself. But if you deny the doctrine, well, it's not just the Old Testament that you deny, it's the New Testament, of course. And there are so many passages we could point to, but I just give some few choice examples. John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In Christ was life. He is God. We all know that God is the source of life. How can life be in Christ? Because he is God, of course. "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." We read from John chapter 8, "Before Abraham was, I am." We mentioned that this morning. John chapter 10 and verse 30, "I and my Father are one." The Apostle Paul speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that he is over all. The Lord Jesus Christ is over all. God blessed forever. He's over all and he's God blessed forever. Amen, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 9 and verse 5. Titus 2:13, speaking of Christ, of course, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how he is presented to us. The great God and our Savior. He's both. They are one, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must embrace this teaching. If you don't, you're denying the Old Testament teaching and the New Testament teaching. And also, just to add this before we move on, you're denying the glory of God himself if you deny this doctrine. Christ going to the cross means that God himself is taking the punishment for our sins. Now, of course, we always make the distinction between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That goes without saying. They are distinct persons. But this is the glory of the cross, that God himself, the incarnate God, has taken the punishment for our sins, something that only God could have done, to bear away our sin, the eternal punishment for our sins, borne away in the space of 6 hours. It's only God who could have done that. It's only God who could have loved us in that way, with so deep and so strong a love, to willingly go and take upon himself the punishment for sinners such as we are. The sinless Son of God takes upon himself all of our sins. Who could love us so much? It's only God. It's only the love of God that we see on the cross. It's only the glory of God that is demonstrated to us on the cross. But if Christ is not God, if you believe that Christ is not God, then God is sharing his glory with somebody else. The glory of the cross is not God's glory, because Christ is not God. That's what you believe. Somebody else, something else, is just as powerful as God to bear away all our sins. Somebody else is just as loving as God to put himself in our place, to stand condemned in our place. You're taking away God's glory. You're saying that somebody else is our salvation. Dear friends, that cannot be. Salvation is of the Lord. God is our salvation. And God will not share his glory with any other. We know all of this. Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. If Christ is not God, well, he is giving glory to another. And God is contradicting himself. Christ is God. Fully God, fully man. We'll speak about his humanity a little later in the letter. I've focused on his divinity, but I hope you don't mind me beginning on this subject, because it's so very important, and we have to understand what we are denying when we deny this doctrine. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, says John in verse 23. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Such vitally important words. But then verse 24, let us move on towards the end of the chapter. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. For we have seen this repeatedly in this letter and in this second chapter, the Apostle John saying, from the beginning. And here it means really, from the beginning of your salvation, those doctrines that have saved you. Stick to those doctrines. If you remain in the sound teaching, in apostolic teaching, you will remain, you will continue in the Son and in the Father. Don't deviate. Don't start believing something else. If somebody comes in with false teaching, don't go with them. Stick to what we have taught you. Stick to that which has saved you. Teaching of the apostles, that which you have heard from the beginning of your new birth, your new life. Abide in those teachings, and you will continue in communion with God the Father and God the Son. This is another way, if we can apply it more generally, of saying stick to the old paths. Stick to the old paths. This is what we try to do at East Stylitch Tabernacle. Stick to the old paths. Abide in them. The sound doctrine. The way we conduct our worship, the reverent worship, the preaching of the Word of God. Don't go looking for new fads and new teaching and new ways of doing church. That will only lead you away from God. You have to go back to the old paths, the apostolic teaching. Look at the sound churches of old. Look at the sound confessions of faith. We have the London Confession that we hold to from 1689. Why do you have such an old confession? Why are you so old-fashioned? Well, because it's sound. It's faithful to the scriptures, that which we have heard from the beginning. And as so many sound churches since that time have held to this confession and been blessed. Why do we need to go looking for new things, for new theology? We stick to the old paths, and we will remain in communion with the Son and with the Father. There will be blessing if you do that. This church has been blessed because we have endeavored to stick to the old paths. And this is so important. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. And in verse 25, well, there is a promise attached. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Well, eternal life is given to those who believe the truth of the Word of God, who believe the doctrines of the apostles. Eternal life is not given to those who reject the Word of God, who reject that which has been taught from the beginning. Eternal life is not given to them. It's to those who love and believe the Word of God. Well, sadly, there are so many who do not believe in the Word of God. Again, they may say that they are Christian, but they don't believe the Word of God. They don't think it's true. They don't think it's inspired. They think it's the work of men and not God. And they don't believe its teaching on vital subjects. They don't obey its commands. Such as those, they do not have eternal life. If you just accept the Word of God in a limited way, just parts of the Bible, but not all of it, I accept the Word of God in a limited way, you only have limited life. You don't have eternal life. Those who believe fully and completely in the Word of God, they have this promise of eternal life. And this is what we teach. We must believe in the Word of God, or else you will not be blessed, or else you may not even be saved. Are you perhaps a professing Christian, and you struggle in your Christian life? You don't seem to have any spiritual life. You don't seem to have any faith. You don't have any assurance at all. You don't know anything about your eternal destination. Sometimes people come to me with these complaints. And I say to them, but do you actually believe the Word of God? That's where it all starts. They don't believe the Word of God. And so they have no assurance. They have no blessing. The promise of eternal life is for those who believe the Word of God, who hear it and believe it. And yet, sadly, there are so many nowadays who do not believe. And well, this is because of the false teachers. False teachers have arisen in the church. And look at what the Apostle John says about these false teachers in verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. This is what the false teachers do. They seduce you. They deceive you. In the Greek, comes from a root word meaning to lead one astray, to deceive. But that word seduce in our English translation, well, it is a very good one. False teaching is so seductive. I'm not talking just about the teaching concerning Christ and his true nature. All false doctrine, liberal doctrine, worldly doctrine and teaching is so seductive, especially in the modern time. False teachers nowadays, well, they look so attractive. Literally, you have these TV channels, these Christian TV channels, and you have these preachers, they look like movie stars, and they're so clean cut, or they're so young, they're so vibrant, they're so full of energy, and well, you get caught up with it. It seduces you, and you fail to see that what they're teaching is not actually scriptural at all. It's not according to the truth of the Bible. You see, you've been caught up with the personality, with their charisma. They've seduced you. That's what false teachers do. And another way they can seduce you is they can appear so kind. False teachers and false doctrine coming into the church, and they seduce you. Well, our doctrine is so kind. It's so loving. It's so tolerant. It's so all-embracing. All you need is love. This is how the false teachers seduce us. We are so kind. We're so modern. You don't want to be like the old-fashioned churchgoers. You don't want to be like the old-fashioned Bible bashers. They're dinosaurs. Their doctrine is cruel. Their doctrine is oppressive. We are so loving. We are so kind and open. That is how they seduce you. But dear friends, we must be wise to their ways. The Apostle Paul uses another word to describe these false teachers in his letter to the Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? It's the same thing, essentially. Seduce you, bewitch you. In the letter to the Galatians, it's implying cast an evil spell over you. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? And this is the aim of the false teachers. They do not want you to obey the truth. This is the aim of Satan himself. He wants to lead you away from the truth into a lie. And dear friends, well, there are so many lies in the professing church at the current time. The lies of the false teachers, the false prophets. And this is so very sad. But again, well, John reminds us that we have a protection against these lies. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, which we have received of Christ, it is in us, indwelling. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Well, what does this mean? Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things. The Holy Spirit teaches us. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, we don't always need a man to come and tell us what is truth. We don't always need a preacher. We can discern what truth is. You know, these false teachers, they will often back up their false teaching with scripture. Well, Satan loves to deceive Christian people with scripture. I've seen scripture being used to deny the doctrine of the Trinity, to deny it. I've seen scripture being used to deny it. I've seen scripture being used to say that there is no such thing as free grace. Scripture has been used in that way. Scripture is used to justify the prosperity gospel. Scripture is used to justify some of this modern tongue speaking and so on. They use scripture to back up their false teaching. But you see, someone with the Holy Spirit, when they hear this, they know that this is not right. They can tell by the Spirit teaching them, they are misapplying scripture. They are not teaching scripture in the right way. There's always that doubt. Even though they are backing up their false teaching with scriptures and appearing so convincing, the Spirit within us is saying, no, this is not right. We don't need a man to always teach us. The Spirit within us will give us that unease. This is not right. They are misapplying the scriptures. They are not interpreting the scriptures as they ought to be interpreting them. This scripture does not add up with that scripture. The Spirit will tell us all of these things, will teach us all of these things. And so this is the essence of this verse. Ye need not that any man teach you. Yes, of course, we have preachers to teach us and to guide us. But the Spirit will bless. And well, of course, when you hear a preacher preaching sound doctrine and affirming gospel truth, well, the Spirit will confirm that this is truth. This is right. This pastor, this preacher, he is applying the scripture in the right way. You don't need a man to come and tell you that this preacher is saying the right things. The Spirit within you confirms it to you. So this is the glorious blessing of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what we have in us, if indeed we have the Spirit. But let us look at verse 28, because time is very quickly running on. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abide in him, says the Apostle John. Abide in his word, abide in his doctrine. Make your home there. Do not ever depart from it. Because, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And if you have departed from the word of God, well, will you not be ashamed before the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again? Remember, the Lord is coming again. When Christ comes again, do you think that those who have denied the truth of Scripture, will they be confident? Those who have spent their whole lives saying, the Bible is wrong. Bible is the work of men. We don't have to believe the Bible. Do you think they will be confident when Christ comes again? Christ who believed the Scriptures. Christ who affirmed the Scriptures. Do you think they'll be confident when Christ comes again? When Christ comes again, will all those who have been preaching the prosperity gospel and all those who have been teaching liberal things, never talking about sin, denying sin, promoting sinful things in the church, promoting immoral things in the church that go against the word of God, do you think they'll be confident when Christ comes again? Dear friends, I don't need to answer that question. I don't need to answer it. You don't need any man to tell you whether they'll be confident at the coming of Christ. If you have the Spirit within you, you know that they will be ashamed when Christ comes again. Those who have taught the wrong things, those who have denied Scripture, those who have denied the deity of Christ, those who have said that Christ is just a man, when they see Christ coming on the clouds with the holy angels in the glory of the Father, do you think they'll be confident when Christ comes again? Dear friends, this is the word of God. We must stick to it, otherwise we will be ashamed before Christ at his coming. And verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Well, now we know that we must pursue after righteousness and holiness. And essentially that means obedience to the law of God. And we know that we must not lie. We know that we must not steal. We know that we must not covet. But you know, when we look at this context of the doctrines that are being affirmed, and the apostolic teaching that is being affirmed, and the warnings against false teaching, we have to conclude that works of righteousness do not just mean the abstaining from lying or stealing or covetousness. A work of righteousness, a glorious work of righteousness, is believing the word of God. That is a work of righteousness. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, this will be one of the ways that will identify us at the end of time. Who are the people of God at the end of time? Well, they are the ones who believed the word of God and who obeyed the word of God. And they were never ashamed of the word of God, even though it meant that they were persecuted, even though it meant that they would be mocked, even though it meant that they may lose their jobs and their livelihoods. Who are the people of God? They're the ones who love God's word and never departed from it. They abode in God's word. They lived in it. They loved it. They are the ones who are righteous. They are the ones who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They stood upon the authority of God's word. God will bless them and receive them to himself. Well, dear friends, this is the teaching that we see here at the end of chapter 2 of the first letter of John, teaching us that we are to turn away from false doctrine, turn away from the lies of the false teachers, and to abide in the word of God, and to be blessed by the Spirit, and to trust in the word of God as our source of authority and as the word which we obey in this world.